Hi, everybody. What you're about to listen to is a rebroadcast of our Great Debates Live episode, recorded last week at the Comedy Central Theater here in Los Angeles. Thanks to everybody who came out. We really enjoyed it, had a great night, but we wanted to present this for those of you who weren't able to attend. We'd love to do some more of them. If you want Great Debates Live to come to your town, please write to greatdebates69@gmail.com, and please enjoy this special rebroadcast of Great Debates Live.
Tonight, for the first time ever, we're live at the Comedy Central Theater here in Los Angeles. Before I get too much further, I'd like to ask the audience that we're recording with to join me in welcoming our debaters, Steve Healy and Dave King. Guys, welcome. I'm really excited to be live for an audience. How about you?
Very excited. Thanks everyone for coming. And thank you to our moderator, Dan Medina, and thank you to the... Yeah, indeed. And thank you to the Comedy Central Theater stage thing, Hudson thing. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys, I want to get right into it with our first micro-debate. As per usual, Steve will be taking the pro side. And the topic is, given a year of training, Steve Healy could dunk a basketball.
Let's get this out of the way right off the bat. Here's how high I can jump, right now. Not amazing. I'm no great athlete. But I'll tell you what, I've accomplished every single thing I've set my mind to. When I was a boy, I was determined to see a girl's boob, did it. I was determined to write a novel, did it. I was determined to be a TV writer, did it. I was determined to have a live Great Debates, and here we are. So obviously I will learn how to dunk a basketball in a year. Here's what I will do. I will go to a high altitude place with a team of coaches, doctors, biomedical specialists. I will take any injection necessary. I will train for 1 year. By 7 months, I'll be hitting rim. The rest is a walk.
Healy, this is no boob, this is no novel. This is a dunk, and you're simply incapable of doing it. There's simply no amount of time given that would allow you to ever dunk a basketball. I hate to bring this up, but you're no spring chicken. You're not at the peak of your athletic ability anymore. I believe you stand 6'3", is that correct?
That's about right, yeah.
You're not getting any taller. Your muscles are not getting any stronger.
Once the doctors in Germany get done with me, they'll see where we're at on that.
For some reason, you've mentioned elevation, as if you think that this somehow would help you dunk.
That's where our Olympic athletes go to train.
You understand that that's for endurance. You understand that. You know that the height of the mountain wouldn't bring you higher to the height of the rim. You understand?
It would inspire me.
Well, good luck with your... I don't think inspiration is going to get you far enough. I also think there's practical realities here. You're acting as if you have 365 days to do whatever you please. You're under contract, you have an overall deal, you have obligations.
I'm walking away from all that.
Okay, well, I don't think you have the guts to walk away from it. I think that there are certain endeavors that you claim that you've... I don't think there are...
You think it comes down to guts?
I'm not saying you don't have the guts. I'm saying that a year is longer than you think, and I think eventually you'd give up on your dream and you'd realize that there are some things that people physically can't do. This isn't a mental test.
Obviously, the hard part is going to be motivation, because what do I care? But yeah.
Exactly. Great point.
Given my... If we're assuming that I make the commitment to doing it, it will be accomplished. Absolutely. Just look me in the eye.
Everyone?
Yeah. Look at these eyes. These are the eyes of a man who will train himself to dunk a basketball.
I see the eyes of a man who can touch a boob. I see the eyes of a man who can write not one, but as many novels as he wants. But here's another issue.
Yeah.
The size of your hands is not going to change. You can't make your hands bigger. And to dunk a basketball with one hand, you have to be able to palm... That's not a basketball. That's a pitcher of water. To be able to dunk a basketball, you have to be able to palm it with one hand, or...
Would you say your hand is roughly the size of a basketball?
I would say, roughly, you want to try to palm my hand?
This is absurd.
You're not going to be able to actually pick my whole body up.
This is a question of willpower, and I've got it. Plus height, which I also have.
Spud
Webb did it, right?
What's that?
Couldn't Spud Webb?
I've known Spud Webb. I watched Spud Webb win the Slam Dunk Championship. Steve Healy, you're no Spud Webb.
After the debate, we do say, you know, I didn't really believe that, I do really believe that. I absolutely believe this.
You're so wrong.
This is one of those debates where you guys actually believe.
I genuinely believe.
A rare debate where we believe the opinions we've expressed. There's just no way. For all the reasons I listed and 1,000 more.
How close do you think I'd get after a year?
I think after a year you could, like, graze the rim.
Do you think I could hang on the rim?
Can you touch rim now?
I can get net.
Because the touching of the rim is sort of, you know, your fingertips. You've got to get an extra 6 or 8 inches.
I don't deny that's going to be the toughest 6 inches.
But if you can just get to, like, Bolivia, the Andes Mountains.
Everything's legal down there.
I always tried to dunk a basketball. I practiced with a volleyball.
Okay.
Very easy to palm. But I think I hurt my wrist because I jammed it so hard.
Yeah, wrist strengthening would definitely be a part of it.
So, yeah. Guys, this is the host chat portion of our show. The very famous host chat portion.
This is when we relax, we let our guard down.
Take our gloves off and just kind of... No, you have an exciting announcement. Am I wrong? Do you not have...
I don't know how exciting it is.
Okay, you have an announcement.
Yeah, everyone has cards, or you should have had cards on your seat where you could write down topics. We're going to have a round later where we're going to use one of those topics. So please do, if you haven't yet, write down a topic, and I guess we'll pass them to the right eventually.
Towards the end of host channel, I'll remind you to pass them to the aisle. So,
but
okay.
We have a prize that will only be appreciated by super fans of the show. But I made a T-shirt. Usually at the end of a debate, we Dave and I talk, and then we consult with Deans, our moderator. We ask him what he thought of the debate. So the winner will receive the Deans, what do you think, official Great Debates T-shirt.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back with the Great Debates.
You were on the road for a couple weeks.
I've been on the road for 2 long weeks.
What? Any highlights or weirdness? You've been all over America?
Got robbed in Austin.
Whoa!
That was pretty awesome.
Did they rob your beard and leave your mustache?
Exactly.
What's the single best thing you ate?
I had barbecue, as some of you might have heard, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner one day in Alabama. That was pretty sweet. I got to tell you, though, the scariest part of the trip, we were in the western part of Texas, and the storms that have attacked the eastern part of Texas were just kind of getting started. My fiance Cassie and I were driving through a no man's land, and the most beautiful lightning storms you've ever seen were off in the distance, and then they were getting closer, and then they were suddenly all around us, and then lightning was flashing like the grand finale part of a fireworks display. It was just always on, and then there was more rain than I'd ever seen, and then we were scared for our lives, and we had to pull off the freeway and hide under an underpass for about half an hour.
For a half hour?
Yeah, I thought we were gonna die.
Very glad you survived.
Yeah, America.
So that would have had a much more somber tone.
Is there someone, in the event of your death, is there someone you would like to name a moderator, a sort of god moderator of the Great Debates?
I think we have to have Mark do it.
Yeah, Mark, our producer, is backstage, who's awesome.
Yeah, we should take a minute and actually to acknowledge we couldn't do any of this without Mark. He's the guy who picks all the music, he produces everything.
Big round of applause for Mark Paracello.
Actually, we were talking about, you were talking to Mark about how he got so good at selecting music for...
Oh, yeah. My understanding is he said, yes, I have experience in this. I used to pick the music for the high school announcements at my high school.
That's great.
So, guys, we have a couple special guests with us tonight.
Great. Yeah.
And I wanted to bring out our first special guest. Our first guest was a fact checker at The New Yorker, and for the last couple weeks, he's been on assignment for the Great Debates, fact-checking some of the claims made by our debaters in previous episodes.
Yeah, we make a lot of claims that we just frankly don't know if they're true at all or not, and behave as if they are, so we're going to be called to task a little bit right here.
Okay, so could we please welcome to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, our fact-checker, Nate Stein, everybody. Nate Stein.
I've taken a look at some of your assertions, and
how'd we do?
In the first one, in the acting is harder than dentistry debate, Dave, you referred to a herd or pack of cheetahs.
Right.
And the correct term for a group of cheetahs is coalition.
Okay. I don't feel that bad about not knowing the proper... Do you guys follow UberFacts on Twitter? Very brief aside, I'm sorry. Do you guys know UberFacts? Show of something? Okay. Half of their facts are now that exact thing, which is like a group of whatever pigeons is called a... You know, fart storm. Who decides that? Who cares? They're their worst facts that, whatever. No one, I don't know why.
If you saw some pigeons and you're like, look,
a parliament. Garbage.
I'm sorry, a group? A group of pigeons?
You know, the only thing those words do now that I realize it is like, you go, oh, look, a parliament of pigeons. What are you talking about? It means a group of pigeons.
Right.
Just say a group. All right. What else we get wrong?
All right, number two, in the same debate, acting is harder than dentistry. Steve, you were talking about David Mamet, and you said he said the two things you need for acting are a strong, clear voice and a supple body.
Right.
two things I have.
Here's what Mamet actually said. The actor needs a strong voice, superb diction, a supple, well-proportioned body.
Very different.
And a rudimentary understanding of the play. So forth.
It is great that he stopped. He was like thinking that up, and he's like, a supple body. Well, you can't have a guy whose arms are like way. It's going to be the removal.
That's cheating. That's a cheating version of supple if you just have 9-foot wrists that you're in. So well proportioned. Okay, that's good. That's helpful. Thank you, Nate. What else?
In the there are fewer than 45 old movies worth watching debate.
Which is true.
Steve, you were talking about Jurassic Park, and you said Sam Neill isn't really in any other movies besides.
Hold up for a second, if I may. I'm going to offer you a chance to retract that statement now before we pursue the truth.
Let me have the audience ask themselves how many other movies they can think of Sam Neill being.
Okay.
No. Maybe he was in The Piano, right? Whatever. Did anybody see that?
No.
Well, he has 117 acting credits. On Just to name a few, Bicentennial Man, The Horse Whisperer, The Jungle Book, The Hunt for Red October, Wimbledon, A Long Way Down, The Adventure, The Curse of the Midas Box.
Etc. Yeah,
I do feel bad. I remember now he was in Hunt for October. He was really good.
But
in fairness to me, Sam Neill is a really good actor and like transforms himself. So I didn't
know it was him.
What? What do you mean he transforms himself?
I thought he was just like a Russian guy on the sub. I was like Sam Neill. I was like, that's a Russian guy
in Red October, as opposed to Jurassic Park, where he just plays a guy.
He's yeah, Doctor whatever. Right?
So boring. All right.
And I've only got one more. This was actually from today's debate. You guys were talking about Camilla and Prince Charles, and one of you said...
Right, it was a debate about whether the British should get rid of their royal family.
And one of you said Prince Charles once said he wanted to live in Camilla's pants. Another one you mentioned he wanted to be a tampon, and I got the exact exchange. It's just from a leaked telephone conversation. Camilla said, "I need you all the week, all the time." Charles said, "God, I'll just live inside your trousers or something. It would be much easier." Camilla said, "What are you going to turn into, a pair of knickers?" And Charles said, "Or, God forbid, a Tampax."
A Tampax.
Hey, pretty close.
Tampax.
That is great. Like, if you tried to write British sex dialogue,
yeah.
And you wrote that, people would be like, that's too much.
how much more would people have liked Prince Charles if Camilla Parker Bowles, I hate to say this, were like 20% hotter?
I don't know.
It's just a question. I'm not saying that that's a good reflection of human values.
I think people were like endeared by that. He had Princess Diana. She was hot.
I think that's a total misread on your part. I think people were like, for her, you're gonna. Anyway, is that it, Nate?
Yeah,
that was. Very helpful. And
everything else accurate.
Thank you
right?
so much.
Thank
Nate Stein,
so
everybody.
Everybody, Nate Stein, our fact checker. Thank you so much, Nate. Great job, guys. I thought it was going to be much worse.
Yeah, I think we did okay.
I also think the exchange, the British exchange, was basically right on.
What's that?
Accurate.
We were pretty good at remembering some guy's phone call to his mistress from like 10 years ago.
10?
Good job.
It was so sensational at the time. Please. We'll get to another debate in a second, but I remember there being an SNL sketch about Prince Charles wanting to be what I thought was a tampon, we learn now, Tampax, in her trousers. And I think that's one of the reasons why it stuck in my head. Like, I think Dana Carvey was playing.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have no idea the difference between a tampon and Tampax.
Oh, they are the same thing.
Oh, okay. There's a brand of.
I was thinking of
Kleenex
Tampax.
Do you think Tampax sales increase, decrease, stay the same?
Increased 3% in England, 0% in the US. Let's maybe move on.
Guys, tonight we're going to try a new format. Normally we have a very short micro debate and then we jump into a main event topic, but we're going to do a medium long debate.
Oh, the medium.
The medium.
One of the most exciting titles for anything I've ever heard. Medium debate. That's all right. Great counterpoint.
It is not about that television.
And it was medium.
This debate is going to be 5 minutes long.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a little bit longer than the micro and a lot.
I think we people could have.
It's medium. Yeah. Medium.
It's medium length. Okay.
Okay, and in order to introduce the topic, we have a very short video presentation that is a companion piece to the Resolved. Okay, we're going to call that up in just a second. The topic that goes along with this video piece. Is it would be fun to hang out with this guy for a day. Can we see that video? Fun to hang out with this guy for a day. Okay. just briefly before we start, ladies and gentlemen, if you have topics that you put down on your cards, please pass them towards the aisles. And then those on the aisles, please pass them towards the front, and we're going to collect those. I'm sorry about dealing with that administrative matter. So that guy, the topic again, it would be fun to hang out with that guy for a day. We're going to have 5 minutes to do this medium debate. Steve, you're the pro.
He's musical. He's inquisitive. He's got a curious, interesting mind. His production values are pretty high, which shows a certain level of commitment. Now listen, this guy has one problem.
He's super sweaty. So I think pretty early on I would say, yo, buddy, you're really sweaty, maybe cool out, take a shower, drink some lemonade. And after that, I think we would have a great day. He would talk to me about his theories. He's obviously passionate. I would listen, and you know, maybe we'd kick it back and forth. I think probably the best move would be to get him off the topic of 9/11.
Interesting. Interesting tactic.
Maybe we go to the ball game or we check out a movie.
Okay.
We go to the mall. We could maybe use some new shirts. I think here's a guy who has a really dark conspiratorial worldview, and how does he process it? How does he share it with the world? By writing this cool, fun song. This is a guy who looks on the bright side, tries to make himself optimistic, commits himself to a bit of showmanship. I think we'd absolutely have a great day.
Okay, let's go back for a second, Healy. Let's take this piece by piece. You said that he has one problem, which is that he's super sweaty.
Yeah. I acknowledge that he's sweaty.
Okay. I would like to posit just for a minute that possibly he has more problems than that. And I think that if a psychologist or psychiatrist, any kind of professional person with diagnosing powers, I believe that they might come up with something other than just over-sweating as this man's problems. I had an abnormal psychology professor in college who said that we can try to diagnose insane people or people with abnormal psychology in 1,000 different ways. You can administer tests to them. You can, monitor their behaviors. But at the end of the day, there's one way to do it, which is just as good as any of those, and that is talk to the person, and if the hair on the back of your neck stands up, then that person's crazy. The hair on the back of my neck goes fucking crazy when that guy stands
up,
and there's something wrong with this guy.
Look, I don't want to move in with him. And also, it was clearly stated the day and not the night. Like, we're not going to, like, have a camp out.
Okay.
That's a great point. Okay, so it's 9 in the morning. We meet for coffee at the Grove.
You're meeting at the... You've chosen the Grove as your location.
We meet at Bob's Donuts at the Grove.
Great idea. Okay.
We have coffee and donuts. Just the one cup for him, I think.
Smart. Great idea.
I say very clearly, listen, you have 40 minutes to talk about 9/11, and then we're going to talk, then we're done.
So your idea is get it out of the way,
yes,
and you think that if you can...
Way.
Okay, so I think, that, first
listen,
of all, that's not fun.
Later on in the day, he's going to want to bring it back up again, but I will be like, hey, man, we made a rule. Remember I bought you that donut? Like, let's focus on the trolley, and we're good at Abercrombie.
Do you think that when you looked into that man's eyes, that you saw the eyes of a man who would listen to the argument of, hey, I told you could talk about this earlier, and now you can't talk about it again?
Look, there's a million guys on the internet who are just spouting their theories.
I wouldn't want to hang out with them either.
Here's a guy who
it's not going to be fun.
He had a couple interesting shots. He starts with the piano. He sat
You're
down,
not going to be hanging. He's not going to be video editing your day together. Nor is he going to be speaking to you in song.
No,
he's if you're one-on-one with this guy, he's going to be talking to you about... By the way, I know a little bit about this guy. His name is Martin Oakes. He has 100 different conspiracy theories. They're not
so
limited to 9/11.
Here's the great thing about this guy. What is he thinking when he's making that video? Is he like the other conspiracy theorists just spouting into the camera going crazy? No, he's like, how can I help other people hear these theories that I have? I'm gonna have to make it palatable to them. He's a guy who's thinking about other people. Compassion. I assume he's gonna come to Bob's at the Grove and he's gonna be like, Steve will be bored if we just talk about 9/11 all day. I gotta make this acceptable to him as well. We gotta find some common ground.
And what would that common ground be, Healy?
Music. He knows a lot of... That's a pretty well...
I don't think you know a lot about music. I'll say it. I don't think you can talk to that. I think that guy's 100 times more musically talented than you are.
Fantastic, that's a day of education.
Education's not... Now, this is interesting, Healy, because the idea is not to have an educational day with him. You're trying to have fun with this guy.
Well, look, I'm
this
like...
This guy can
okay,
rant till he's blue in the mouth.
What are the problems that influence you? He's gonna have a bunch.
Oh, you bet he will.
Some I've never heard of. Maybe we go down and we listen to some.
Oh, it was a 30-second clock?
30-second warning, yeah.
You also mentioned the production
I'm
values.
Walking away
as,
with this,
what's that?
I'm walking away.
I think you're totally wrong. This guy, you keep saying things that are going to make it tolerable or make it for you somehow like I could survive a day with this guy and it won't be a total nightmare. That doesn't make it fun.
I'm bringing a lot of positivity too.
The idea that you're going to go, I mean, when was the last time you had like fun at the Grove? It's okay. You go to like buy a book or something. You don't go to be, man, I fucking love it.
Okay. I,
I think it would be a great time to hang out with that guy.
Right? No way!
That guy's nuts. That guy's other songs are about the Prime Minister of England. He wants to take him down. I don't remember his name.
Maybe he should.
Maybe.
I'm open to this guy's ideas. Are his other songs as catchy?
No, that song is great. I mean, we all agree that song is great.
Great song.
Listen to the whole song. It's... The chorus repeats itself, there's a bridge, there's a key change.
20 people in the theater are gonna walk out of here singing that song.
I do wonder about, do you guys understand one, I wrote this down, he says, out of 19 Muslim guys, 7 still remained alive. What is he talking about?
I'm not sure all his facts are in he doesn't have the services of Nate like we do.
That's right.
It's also like a standout piece of animation there when the Muslim guys fly by with the children's show animated biplane. I thought
did
that
he
was
commission
really
that? Did he make that? Is that
I wonder
stock
if he started
he
with
found?
The biplane and then ran out of money and had to go with the stock back.
Okay, what's your rough estimate of how much money and how many hours he spent making that video?
I'm going to say £3,000. And I would say, like, 4 years of his life.
Did he have a girlfriend at any time?
Come on, dude. I'll say this. If he did, she was equally certain that the atrocities of 9/11 were a false flag operation.
By the time that he was done with her, yes,
No. I think they met on some sort of... They met Lord, at, like, yeah. What was the...
I'm doing songs about it. Oh! I'm doing dance!
No.
Okay, I'm wondering if backstage we have any audience topics. Oh, Mark, thank you so much. Hey, guys, that's Mark Carosello, everybody.
Are people enjoying... Are we doing okay so far? That's
cool. It didn't cost a dime. It was totally...
What's that? Yeah, well, you know, they got to spend time. Yeah. And they have to park and everything.
I hear you. Got a sitter. Some people got a sitter.
Yeah. Great
God,
point.
This is going to be tough to decide here, folks. Whoever gave me that one knows who they are.
If it helps, you can read a couple, and maybe the audience could kind of like not necessarily formal vote, but just sort of
Okay, let's take.
We could argue whether the person who drew this one is a good artist.
Okay. I'm going to read out 3, and by your applause, we're going to select one to debate. Everybody get ready. Topic number 1, boys to men are nerds. Okay. We got a little bit out of there. Topic number 2, ordering family style is a good idea.
That's juicy, I gotta say. That's good.
Topic number 3, we should mess with Texas.
I mean, I'm willing to hear what the audience thinks, but I want to talk about family style pretty bad. Am I wrong?
Hey, let's do family style.
Let's get into this.
Okay, the resolution up for debate. Steve Healy, would you please take the pro
this? Do we want to find out first who submitted that, or we'll do that later?
Actually, let's do the debate.
Okay,
enjoy
I'm
it.
So
and then
sorry.
I'm going to ask the audience member who submitted it to please stand up and come down and claim their prize. The topic, ordering family style is a good idea.
The whole point of eating together with a bunch of people is sharing food, sharing an experience, sharing with each other, giving and receiving. That's what family style is all about. Of course it's a great idea to order family style. You get to try more stuff. You get to share with your friends. You get to be like, ooh, this is good, this is bad. I don't like this one. No one is taking the shame on it, you know? Like, you're all sharing it, sharing alike. Ethiopian food, Chinese food, there's so many rich, wonderful cuisines here to sample in Los Angeles. Why is everybody limiting? I'm just gonna have the chicken verde. Just for me. Don't touch it.
Who, that's your impression of who?
JT.
Here's the thing, family style, here's what I think actually. If you have a meal and you're serving at home, serving family style is great. But if you go out to eat, ordering family style is more problematic than it's worse. Every time I order family style, we end up with way more food than we want. We end up with people who feel like they didn't get what they wanted. We feel like you have to get people. Now, so many people have sort of fragmented diets, their dietary restrictions.
I think that's a great thing to push people a little bit about that stuff. Get them out of their comfort zone.
Healy, try to push someone who's gluten-free to eat gluten. But in all seriousness, what you end up with is far too many plates that I actually eat. I don't see the way around that problem. Maybe you order less, but that seems absurd.
What a huge catastrophe! We have too many plates! We have to take some home and cook them over their eggs tomorrow. It's delicious! We're having memories of the meal!
They're having memories of the meal?
Remember last night we were having fun eating those?
This is a classic example of a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. Every time we go out to dinner, people order their own food, and this doesn't prohibit us.
The problem is you can't try enough stuff.
Well, but family style, not doing family style doesn't prohibit you from sharing. You can still share. You can still have a couple spoonfuls or four.
It's a negotiation every second. We're basically asking.
Well, that's a great point, because there's no greater negotiation than trying to order family style. If you have 10 people, three of them are down at that end, and they got there late, and we're getting chicken parm, but if you want a pasta, then order the okay, well, tell me now, because we're ordering the fucking thing. It's a nightmare.
You make it sound so stressful. It's like, yeah, we're getting the chicken parm.
It is stressful.
Well, the pizza, we're
no one talks like that.
Come on.
No one talks like that. If you go to Maggiano's on a Friday night and watch a table of eight ordering family style, no one's going, hey, we got a chicken. This is great. We got a chicken parm. We're sharing.
What's the first thing?
We're delighting in the many cuisines of Los Angeles.
You walk into Maggiano's, the first thing they say to you is, hey, we recommend ordering family style, right?
Well, that's a little different because I don't. I believe the spirit of this debate is intended for restaurants that don't normally serve family style.
Oh, that wasn't in the topic.
Well, I think it was ordering family style. That, to me, implies sort of overriding of the principle of the restaurant.
Yeah, it's a good idea to order family style. It brings people together. It's the point.
You're already together. You don't need to be any more intimate. It's not like the table shrinks once you order family style.
I'm going to side with Dave on this one.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Well, it's just there's so much anxiety with
anxiety.
Yeah, because an appetizer comes out with three pieces at one end of the table, and there's five of you there.
Exactly.
And who gets it? And the other one's over there. Who's placing the order?
I never thought I'd have to tell you this, but chill out. It's just dinner.
Would the audience member who submitted this topic please identify yourself? We'd like to award you with a prize. All right. What's your name, friend? Matt, all right, come on down. You got a t-shirt.
It's really a great topic.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Excellent. Okay. Guys, we have more guests.
Yeah, this is great. Healy, you okay, bud?
Yeah.
You know we have more guests, right?
It's time for the main event, right?
Is it time for the main event?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so,
too.
See
what happens.
I want to welcome out our additional guests. Guys, we're going to do a main event debate in teams. We're going to bring up some special guests to join Steve and Dave and take sides with them. And our first guest is a comedy writer. She wrote Pitch Perfect and Pitch Perfect 2. Her name is Kay Cannon. Kay, are you here? Did you come out? Kay's got a bottle of wine. Kay, welcome.
Kay, welcome. Were you a debater at some point in your school career? Is that true?
No, I was just kind of kidding about that. But in my mind, I do a lot of debating in here.
Yeah, to do. You and Martin Oates.
joining Steve Healy, a star of the television program Workaholics, Anders Holm. Welcome. Nice move.
They got beers?
What's up, gang?
Yeah.
Oh, that's some beers.
Oh, she got wine. Okay. I'm fine. Okay.
It's appropriate.
Well, we don't need it. We don't need it.
I kind of do, but I'm
okay.
Okay.
Is this how you do it?
Yeah, that's pretty.
Is this the stance? Chill. I'm getting the sense that maybe neither Kay nor Durs did as much debating and public speaking in high school as we may have.
Not
they
so much.
Might have had other stuff going on.
Durs, you were a swimmer, is that right? That
was yeah, which is so much cooler.
A lot of debating and swimming.
Yeah, like, do we go? Do we not go? There's a wall.
200 meters, 400 meters.
Guys, I want to remind our guests of the format of the main event. We'll start with a 1 minute per team opening statement. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have a period of free skate, where it's open.
Why do we call it free skate?
I've always wondered, but I think it's a great term.
No, it's like at the roller rink.
It's a great term. Also needs to be explained to me. Free skating means...
Any moves are allowed, back and forth.
Okay, cool.
We're not dancing
at
to a particular
roller rink,
song.
There's couple skate, there's, you know, dad and kid skate. Okay. And sometimes called free skate. Or maybe it's for figure skating.
That's when people get hurt.
Dad and kid skate?
In Olympic figure skating, don't they have a free skate where it's like you don't have to do all the little things?
Yeah, and you can pick whatever song you want.
Yeah,
like,
rock,
you know,
out.
Pop.
Yeah, yeah,
song.
It's like the last night of the Olympics.
Not true. I don't think any of those things are true. Sure. That's what free skate is, sure.
Okay, I'm going to, on that note, introduce the topic, and I'm going to give you each 60 seconds to plot your strategy and prepare, okay? The topic for tonight's main event debate, California knows how to party. California knows how to party. Okay, 60 seconds. Okay. Pro team, you'll be starting?
I delegated Anders to lead us off.
Anders. Sorry.
Whatever, man.
Fuck you, I hate your team. But thank you.
California knows how to party.
There's a song about California knowing how to party. Never heard a song that describes it not knowing how to party. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
That's the opening scene?
That's it.
Okay.
It's warming up.
Warming up. They name, even Pasadena is in this song about partying.
Pasadena! Okay. Even Pasadena can party.
UC Santa Barbara. More kids probably die at that school every year from partying. Than any other school.
And that's the UC. That's the kids that made it out of the Cal States.
Right.
There's a whole second tier of parties going on.
San Diego State, Long Beach State, these kids are throwing down. Wine country, always a good time. Even old people are getting down.
Your 40-ish set, they're still partying. Going to Napa, Sonoma. Your divorcees.
The divorce rate? Super high in California, which means you're fucking for a long time with a bunch of people, aka partying.
You ever go down to like Redondo, Manhattan Beach? It's nothing but 60-year-old dudes still keeping the party going.
In fact, if you haven't gone down to Redondo, I'm not sure you're qualified to be in this debate.
Oh, I've been to Redondo.
Yeah, you take that.
Also, women ride bicycles in bikinis. That's a party right there. It's going past you, and you just have to follow where the party's going.
She's going to and from a party. She's not going to work.
No. Maybe. She can even go to work.
At the Vine American Party Store.
Exactly.
Is
does that conclude your opening statement?
We're less than a block away from a party.
I feel like it's more
store.
Than a minute.
I think so too.
The from party what? A party store.
Yeah, a lot of Party City stores here.
What fun. Like, what fun citizens of the Republic of the California have browsing the aisles of Party City USA.
You're kidding, right? You can get like cool funny glasses, you can get like piñatas, I think. Which are for parties.
Yeah. Alright, let's move on to our
okay con team opening.
Okay, great. Ready?
Go ahead, Kay.
California knows how to do many things, but they just don't know how to party. And the reason is because they have too many obstacles ahead of them to get to a place where they could know how to party. Drought. Big drought. Fires. Defending our great citizens of the state against a coalition of mountain tigers / lions who attack people on Prime and all the canyons. All the attacks.
You can't party when the lions are coming down the mountains trying to eat your babies.
No, you can't do it.
And your little puppies.
So I would say California knows how to be serious. They know how to give permits out. They know how to give out parking tickets like a boss.
They don't know how to party.
But they don't know how to party. And nothing you're going to write down right now is going to change that fact.
Do it.
So you're talking about mountain lions. That's basically what your argument was.
The drought
and the fires come from California partying too hard. We basically have no idea how to restrain ourselves.
No idea. Slip and slide situations out of control.
I'm glad you guys brought this up. I'm glad you mentioned the fires. I'm glad you mentioned the kids who kill themselves. What is that a great example of? People who party too hard.
Too much.
What does that
too
mean?
Too hard.
They don't know how to party. Thank you.
Good day to you.
A successful party is not one where everyone lies dead on the floor at the end of the night.
This is like a...
According to who?
This is basically a lecture from Dave King, Mr. King, 8th grade guidance counselor. He's gathered everyone together. The kids who know how to party are the kids who know when to stop partying.
I'd like to stop you right there, Steve Healy, for a second. Let's talk about other states that do know how to party.
I love it.
Florida.
Knows how to party.
Arizona. Knows how to party. Hawaii has a word that no one else can use besides in Hawaii, luau, which means party.
I'm sorry, but are there songs about that? About Florida knows how to party? I haven't heard that song.
Okay. There are songs.
There probably are a lot.
I ask anyone here who's been to a luau to claim that was a good time.
I've been the one. I had a great time.
You eat a sandy pig?
I didn't partake in eating the pig, but I watched
terrible
it.
Songs.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about terrible songs because the soundtrack to the Party of California is garbage. Here are the bands that you can claim as California's party bands. Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Doors, Sublime. The music, by and large, that comes out of California,
especially, is terrible. Stop. You're going to say California is bad at music.
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say it's bad at party music. It's pretty good at chilled out Laurel Canyon, kind of bohemian hippie vibes.
Right.
But it's not good at party music.
We're so good at partying that we need a whole set of songs that's for like the Sunday chill out after party situation. You're in Laurel Canyon, you woke up in some girl's guest house.
You've never woken up in a guest house.
Let's talk about musically. Talk about Pitbull for a second, because Pitbull is a party. He's a walking party.
Sure.
Pitbull will take the party airline, Virgin America.
You sponsor?
out of California, and he flies to Miami so he can have his party there.
Oh, he's never partied in California?
I believe so.
He wouldn't say California knows how to party.
Is Pitbull here? Pitbull? Look, Pitbull's from Miami, doesn't know anything. Okay? Like, that's not a man who's going to know a lot about the ways of the world.
Well, all I know is backstage, this is what I was given. I was given this wine. They said, this is for you, Kay, and there was no glass.
Do you know how to party?
Do you know how to party?
Because you live in California.
So feel free to slam the bottle, because this is a party.
I didn't know I was dealing with Little Miss Manners here. It's a glass for a white wine.
I want to go back to a second for the dangers of over-partying, because the history of partying in California...
You become a legend. Watch out.
If you want to be a joke like Britney Spears and Amanda Bynes and Lindsay Lohan and the celebrities who have partied too hard.
If women can't party proper in California, and they make over, what, half of the percentage of, no, half of the people who are live in California, women.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is, if the ladies can't party proper, then...
That's right.
Then they don't know how to party.
I'm sorry, if you show me a woman that will voluntarily shave her head, you're showing me somebody I would party with for sure till 4 a.m. and have so many stories for the rest of my life.
But that was also a woman with...
She shaved her head.
...who should maybe not have been partying.
She was going through some problems.
So, but was she partying?
Could she have been partying?
That's not the debate.
No.
Would she be partying? It's, she's in California because this is the place that knows how to party.
Anyone who knows how to party is going to cross that line into over-partying.
If you are partying correctly, you cross the line. Otherwise, you're just hanging.
Then where do you go? To Promises Malibu. We invented a whole industry, a freehouse, for people who had overpartied. Go up there to Malibu, take 27
Hold
days.
Hold on a second.
Come back when you're good and ready.
Let's talk about the parties that the state provides for us for a second. Ooh. Coachella. Boo. What? The Vanity Fair? Oscar after party.
The world's most famous party.
What a great, that's such a great example. Because California Hollywood parties, you don't know how, all it is, oh my God, look over your shoulder, Joaquin Phoenix is here. That's not how to party. That's not knowing, that's not actually spending time with your friends.
That's more like a warning, I will give you that. Look over your shoulder, Joaquin Phoenix is here.
And he's coming
for
you.
Yeah, well, the party is too intense.
Right. Okay, so we're talking mountain lions, we're talking Joaquin Phoenix, we're talking grass fires.
Have
you ever seen a mountain lion? Has anyone in this room ever seen a mountain lion in the wild in California?
We might have coyotes or more indigenous animals. I think that's, we're getting a little off track.
The coyotes eat M&Ms.
How many people
have heard?
The animals here know how to party. The whole state is partying. It's shaking back and forth.
Yeah. You ever seen a coyote? They wag the tail.
It's drinking itself dry. The place is practically falling into the ocean for partying too hard.
We have to touch on one of the largest problems with partying in California, which is a real, like, if we're going to talk about this seriously, drinking and driving. Everyone knows this is one of the reasons why parties in California are objectively worse. You need a solution. If you're going to drink, you can't drive there. If you're going to drive, you might end up killing someone and ruining multiple lives in the process. It's a real hindrance.
Maybe.
I totally agree. That's a great point.
Thank you so much.
That's why those geniuses up in Silicon Valley set to work and create an Uber.
Wait, where's where's Silicon Valley?
California.
No time to party.
It's a song.
I would suggest, though, that Uber, what happens when you want everybody to party, you have to add more Uber drivers, you have to add more bouncers, you have to add
more jobs? Okay, cool. More jobs, yeah.
Right, which is work, which is not party, which is the opposite of party.
California
does not know how to party.
Right. Have you been in an Uber car where the DJ does not know exactly what to put on? And now you can do, I believe you can do Spotify from your phone to them and create this thing called a party.
It's you and a stranger in a car listening to awesome tunes. That right there is a party.
If you want your argument to rest on the idea that sitting in the back of an Uber is a party, you can have that. But I'd also like to add this. I believe that Uber is a temporary solution to the issue of drinking and driving in California. I think we're in a golden age of Uber. I think regulations are going to be coming. I think this is the sort of like Napster in 1997 moment of Uber, and the government and other people, I don't know who other people are, but they're going to crack down.
So is the debate California knows how to party at this moment in time, or is it knows how to party?
It knows how to party.
California's been partying since the gold rush.
Here's Keeley, another great example of what seemed... Here's the real... Let's talk, if we can, about the history of California.
Please. I know everything.
Step right into my trap.
For decades and now for centuries, people have moved to California because they heard someone before them go, you gotta get out to California, it's a fucking party, man. Yeah. There's gold in them Nar Hills. And then they went out there and they found that there wasn't gold.
No gold.
And when Tom Joad got here, he found that there weren't any jobs and he went off walking along and died.
But when Tom Jones got here, he started
he
singing songs.
To Vegas.
He went to Vegas.
Vegas is where you party.
Vegas knows how to party.
Tom, now come on. Neither one of you believes that. Have any one of you stayed in Vegas for longer than
Yeah, I lived in Vegas for over 2 years. I partied every night.
So,
I partied with the Blue Man Group. I partied with Cirque du Soleil.
I partied with
Siegfried and Roy pre-Roy getting attacked by a coalition of tigers.
Let me ask you just one quick question, Kay. What are you doing here?
Working. Working.
I think it's a good time for closing statements, man. Right. What do you think? You guys want to start it off?
Pro side begins the closing statement.
When I think of America and our major exports, I don't think about soy, corn.
Forget it.
Or even almonds, which are leading to the drought in this state here. But when we do run out of water, we'll have beer. And I think about the export of dreams that we provide, mainly out of California, specifically Los Angeles, California, one of the party capitals of the planet Earth. And I'm pretty sure there is gold in these Hevair Hills. And that goal is a party.
Here's what you need for a party. An awesome place, a bunch of diverse, interesting people, a ton of beers.
Yep.
California has the most breweries of any state. A lot of
is that right?
That. That's a fact.
Oh, sure. Party. Yeah. What fact, Healy? Cool party.
And an Uber driver.
Uber driver to take you there, Uber driver to take you home, a guest house to pass out in.
Until the sun goes down over Santa Monica Boulevard.
Pong side.
I hear you, I hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, when I first moved to California, there were no balloons. There were no friends even that were like, welcome to California. I came from Chicago. And a huge party, party town. And I showed up and I was like, I'm here, and nobody was there. My first job was working for a company called Valet of the Dolls. It was a bunch of ladies who parked cars for fancy parties.
Sounds awesome.
One of the parties was for Ian McKellen's Oscar party. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. We are in a drought, folks. You've eaten your last avocado, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that much. And what do you need, what do you make with avocados? You make guac, and what is guac awesome at? Fucking party. And if you don't have that guacamole, then you don't have anything used to over there. So here's a toast. To you, friend.
Yeah, to not partying.
To not partying.
Let me say, I'll close it out with this. No, this is great. I will close it out with this. It's easy, Durs, when you're the star of a hit show and, you know, making appearances. What?
Yeah, it's basic cable. We're getting like, we're under 1 million people watching these days.
Forgive me for trying to compliment. It's easy when you're the star of a cable show with appearances in such movies as Top 5 and The Intern coming soon to theaters. Tell us that there is gold in them, Nar Hills, because you've made it. But the truth is that for most people who come here, it's false hope. We do sell dreams, and it's a false bill of goods. And the people who come here thinking that they're going to be partying in the hills end up, you know, check out Skid Row down in downtown L.A. That's where most of the people, you know, those are the same guys that you were auditioning with 3 years ago. They didn't get the part of Tours on Workaholics, and neither you nor them know how to party. That's our closing statement.
Okay.
Beans, what do you think?
I feel like the con side had a real uphill battle here, so I don't envy you. But I kind of think the tactic might have been to one of comparison to other cities that, and really highlighting the Miamis and Chicagos and New Yorks of the world and the Barcelonas and the, I don't know.
We may have dropped the ball. That's true.
The Barcelonas.
And did you just go after homeless people at the end? Was that the whole thing? You were going after
empathy for them, but I would say that they, I mean, I think they, by their own admission, probably don't know how to party. Yes.
I do want to say, watching this, I would absolutely vote for Kay Cannon for U.S. Senator.
Oh, I like that.
She has the bearing, the poise, but I don't believe for one second that she doesn't love to party.
I would vote for love to party.
As president of my local fraternity chair.
One thing we didn't mention, Steve Healy, is that, which might fuck all this up, is Steve Healy and I have thrown many a party together.
Yeah, why didn't you use that? You guys have huge parties.
That's a great point.
I'd like to ask the audience who they thought won. So a round of applause if you think that the con side won.
Woo!
Thank you.
Who was that?
Wow. Wow.
Who? Round of applause if you think that the pro side won. I think that might settle it. Congratulations, guys. Hey, I want to extend a big thank you to our guests. in these debates, Kay Cannon and Anders Holm. Everybody, please give it up for those guys. Thank you for joining us.
What do we do now?
Okay, now we actually are going to settle this debate for real. Because we are going to go to an after party at the Village Idiot.
Oh, that's great.
Right? And we're going to find out whether or not California actually knows how to party.
Guys, he was going to excuse us and have you guys actually debate.
Hey, I want to thank you all for joining us at the Great Debates podcast here at the Comedy Central Theater. We really will see you at the Village Idiot later on to settle the question of whether or not California knows how to party. Thanks a lot, everybody. See you next time on our podcast.
Thank you for coming out.